Your station for up-to-the-minute news, intelligent, interactive, and engaging conversation. 96.9 FM. The views and opinions of the hosts and guests are their own and do not necessarily reflect the position of the management and staff of Guardian Network.
The Revolution with Juan McCartney is sponsored by Fidelity Bank Bahamas, J.S. Johnson, Commonwealth Bank, Bahamas Bus and Truck, Burger King, Open Current, Ministry of Finance, Ron's Electric Motors, the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas, and Marco's Pizza.
Good afternoon, Bahamas, and welcome to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. So good to have you with us. We're today going to discuss the death of a student on the Government High School campus, but in a broader context in terms of policing, in terms of crime in the country, in terms of where we are as a nation. And joining me to have that discussion is retired Assistant Commissioner of Police, Stephen Dean. Thank you so much for joining us on The Revolution. It's the first time post-retirement, eh?
It's a pleasure. That's Senior Assistant Commissioner.
Senior Assistant, all right, man.
I don't want to put that little piece in.
I don't take that in the way.
That might cost me a couple of dollars.
Senior Assistant Commissioner. All right.
It's a pleasure to be here, Juan.
Stephen Dean, absolutely. Retirement looks good on you, man. You look well rested. You ain't got all this stress.
Having a good time.
Excellent. All right. So I called you because, you know, you've for decades been on the ground and done community outreach. You were the police press liaison. You ran the National Crime Office and all this. And you have a good sense of how things have shifted over the past few decades in terms of policing and crime. So we have a student killed on Government High School campus, not the first student we've had killed by another student, right, on campus or off campus, but it's always a tragedy. You have a 15-year-old boy is dead, another boy is in hospital. And one of the reactions I heard was that you should put police on the school campus. Now, that was tried before, and you were there. That was tried by the first Christie administration. Then Ingram took him out and put him around the campus instead of inside the campus. Then the Christie administration came back, and Bernard Nottage was Minister of National Security. Jerome Fitzgerald was Education. Allison Greenslade was Commissioner of Police. And they put the school officers back on the campus. Students still stabbed each other, fought outside the campus, died, right? To me, when you tell me that you have to put police on a school campus, here's what it suggests to me, and it sets off a real loud alarm, all right? So a school campus is already a secured perimeter, right? Only the students and the faculty could come in or out. The parents need permission. Right? So you already secured it. It's a compound.
Right.
Right? So when you now put guards to police the people inside the compound, mm-hmm, you're telling me this is essentially a prison environment. Mm-hmm. And that the police are there to guard the students from themselves.
Right.
And the students from the teachers. So what you're telling me is that teenage boys, mm-hmm, in our government schools are such a danger to themselves, mm-hmm, and to the teachers and the faculty, mm-hmm, that the police, mm-hmm, the military,
right,
must go guard them.
Right.
It seems to me to suggest that that would mean we have a total collapse of our education environment and of our children's socialization. What is your take?
I'm delighted that you brought me on. What I can tell you in cases where we, you know, I equate it to a medical approach. When something is happening, we try to stop the bleeding. That's put the police there to stop the bleeding.
Right.
Or lock up, arrest, put more cars, do all of that. That's the bleeding. Now it's time for surgery. Now it's time for the medical approach. What caused this? How can we prevent this from happening again? How did we arrive at this point that we is now in the hands just the police to be the protectors of these children?
Right.
Where do these children come from? Which environment that they came from? So you have to look at, you know, sometimes depends on the time and season some things happen. That's the reaction you get.
Mm-hmm.
If it's a crime happening in a particular area, let's get the cars out there. Let's make sure that we cover and smother the area. That might not be able to be consistent. What you see happening in Wake, you know, and I would just look at what's happening worldwide. I was just looking at what happened in Minneapolis after the George Floyd shooting and all those police shooting. Now there's a great move throughout the U.S. of removing police from all of the schools.
Right.
Of all the schools, major campaign. The rationale behind it, too, is that research have now begun to show is that where police have come into the school, more children have been arrested.
Mm.
More children have getting more into the juvenile system.
Right.
In those cases. Because an officer, once he solves the problem is you go into the station.
Right, you arrest and a charge.
Yeah,
right.
you're going along that line. And so that's what is happening there. So I think it's the time has come, one, for us to look at this problem, not just throw it away, the responsibility. And where we got to start off, we got to start looking at the parents. What responsibility does the parent have?
Right.
Because you and I went to school.
Right.
I don't know if I went to school to fight, carry a knife.
Right.
And as I'm going to do that, I don't know. I knew there were some consequences.
Correct.
And not from school, right. Not from the police. There's some consequences at home.
Right.
What's going to happen? So now, Ron, that brings a bigger problem.
Mm-hmm.
Are we talking about the home me and you grew up in?
Probably not.
We're guaranteed that evening there's going to be dinner. We can't even tell the father to reach home. It's going to be dinner on the left and all of that. Do we think that's the kind of home that we have in most cases for our kids?
Probably not.
Because we say all created equal.
Right.
But there are some disadvantages. We have children being born into families where the father is in prison. The mother's in drugs when you were born.
Right.
We have in schools where children have to fend for themselves. And if you go in some inner cities, you should, before children go to school, they have to push the trolley to get water and all of these things. These are responsibilities they have. The parents have to go to work early so that elder siblings have to make sure that Johnny and all of them go to wherever they need to go. And that's what's happening.
Right.
So because of the times that we live in, you have seen parents, the responsibility that exists on parents, it ain't the typical parents that we deal with.
Right, we see, and this is what I'm trying to to get to, and I'm trying to figure out how, and, the vast majority of students are not violent.
No, they don't
stab each other, you know what I mean?
No.
But you do have a situation where you have gang activity in school, you have young men who are inside and outside of school and gang activity.
There are real issues.
Now, somewhere along, I was 50 and a 15-year-old boy, a 16-year-old boy, right? And I clearly understood.
Yes.
The difference between right and wrong.
Yes, yes.
What is the possibility of killing somebody if you stab them or shoot them or hit them with a rock or a bottle. Yes. So these aren't little children.
No.
Right?
No,
they're old enough to understand that their actions carry consequences.
That is correct.
But somewhere along the line, they got to the point where they either stopped caring or they believed that they wouldn't be held responsible for their actions. And
true.
So to me, you go back to the parent's responsibility before you get to the responsibility of the student.
No question.
Now, how do we get here?
Yes.
All right?
Yes.
So I think what you're saying is, and what I agree with, is that we've come to a point where we're throwing responsibility now to the government.
Yeah.
All right? The government is now responsible for my child's education.
Yes, everything.
The government's responsible for my child's security.
Yes, everything.
My child's behavior. Mm-hmm. The government now responsible for feeding my child, right. Providing lunch for my child, allowing them on the breakfast program.
Right.
You understand what I'm saying?
Right, right.
And so we've come to a place in society where I think that we have abandoned a lot of actual responsibility for raising our own children.
And then, you know, we come with this thing that takes a village to raise a child.
Right.
But then I use this theory, and you talked in the criminal justice system called the conveyor belt of crime. So the conveyor belt is moving. A lot of our young people are on this conveyor belt.
Mm-hmm.
But some of us are being selective. Okay, I want to have a developer club for young boys, but I want smart young boys.
Right.
So I go to the conveyor belt and say, let me pick the smart one off. The other ones can continue to go in. I can pick the one who I know, who I well behave, disciplined along that line. A lot of our children are on this conveyor belt. And the conveyor belt only going but one or two places. It's crime. You're going to prison.
Right.
And you're going on debt.
Right.
That's the end road for
right.
some of our young children today. This reality.
That's the road a lot of them are on.
That's reality. And you got to understand now, it is so serious out there because it's a gang culture. Mm-hmm. It's a real issue. You know, we've been that kind of endogenous thing in the country for a long time.
Right.
We had persons like Khaled read them. They were talking with this for a number of times.
Right.
But these are real issues. So you're talking about you, one of the 10 persons, you search, you're going to find a little knife or something on them. It is for security. Because he knows the likelihood.
He'd be attacked.
I'll be attacked.
So, okay. There's parental responsibility. There's student responsibility. And there is also government responsibility.
Yes, no question.
Now, when we talk about government responsibility, I often hear this, throw the police at it,
mm-hmm.
right? And so the police, to me, now we're talking about the same Royal Bahamas Police Force that have shootouts with criminals who try to rob banks with AK-47s.
Right.
We must send them to deal with the children. To me, that should be the last resort.
Yeah, I looked at it at more like this. More than a police officer going to school to be a security officer, so to speak. I could see the police working in collaboration with principals,
right.
the education system, which I, in some cases, has happened.
Right.
To do, let's say we have, and teachers could identify them. There's a bunch of trouble boys in the school.
Right.
We'll come in once a week, do a lecture. We'll do crime prevention. We'll speak to them. I think that's the attitude. We have to have a relationship. Because if my child, first day of school, the first person they see is a police officer with a gun,
mm-hmm.
as opposed to seeing a social worker,
right.
a nurse, or a smiling person.
Right.
That done set the tone
right.
for a lot of things.
That I'm inside an institution.
Yeah.
And the police guard.
Yes. Because even if I think in something, I better have a gun to deal with this.
Right.
I better have a knife to protect myself from this. Because this is serious business out here.
Right, exactly.
And so I think that was some of the rationale behind what you see in the U.S. schools, that when we're removing the police, the impression of what the children saw when they walk into the gate.
Right.
They saw this police situation. They had an incident where the police officer, a boy was suspended, so the teacher couldn't get him out of the class. They called the police officer on duty.
Right.
Next thing, the boy was arrested for being unruly,
correct.
Some offense.
Resisted
he
arrest.
Was taken to the prison system.
Correct.
When that matter could have been dealt with differently.
Right.
And if you go to the Simpson Pen now, not everybody is there for committing crime. There's a section in there where persons are detained at the Simpson Pen for uncontrollable. Parents say, I can't control them.
Right. You take
them. So they tell you 16, 17 years old.
And that's my thinking. If the police must guard the students among themselves, and mm-hmm. they're such a danger to themselves and the teachers, mm-hmm. then now they probably should become wards of the state.
Yeah.
Since the parents can't control them.
Yes.
And the faculty can't control them.
Right.
I think what we do is we tend to go to the extreme end of things without looking at what solutions we can offer.
Yeah,
not police for government responsibility, but we have social service.
I think it comes down to a partnership now.
Right.
That everybody working in partnership, because everybody have their respective role. But it has a lot to do with education from the police part, you know, because I think now what the police have now is police liaison officers.
Right.
Like at a particular division, this officer is responsible for school A, B, and C. He's contact there. He's the contact person. What that officer should be doing, having a good relationship with the parents. With the teachers, if they have an issue, that's the person they can call maybe to resolve it.
Right.
And to talk about it. It can be the shortcut, arrest, back to the station, because you're causing problems.
Right.
You already starting that child off on a road.
Yeah, acclimating him to the criminal justice system.
Because the reality, what the criminal out there, you know the kind of person they're looking for? The young boy who gets suspended from school.
Mm.
He's prime target. That's what I want. So to commit my crime. That's what the gangs are looking for.
Right.
These type of persons who already have some, that's almost like a resume to that.
Right.
In a life of crime.
Yeah, you're already into trouble.
Yeah.
You went into school.
That's your first degree.
Right, yeah. So you done
passed
the first
test. Yeah.
We can have other people can join in, 323-6232. 325-4316 and 325-4259 and 422-4796 is the text line. You know, no one person has all the answers.
Right.
I just think that it's a broad leap to think that the police are going to solve this problem with children's behavior.
No, it wouldn't be. Most time when things reach in the police hand, that is almost too late.
It's just right.
It's too late.
Right.
Because someone have seen, like I go back to the conveyor belt, someone saw something in that sign in that child. And you know what happened? Let's look at preschools. Is there any prerequisite when you leave preschool before you go into primary school that they send a record but you say this was a troublesome person in the preschool, this was a troublesome person in this school? No. Most time you're trying to get them into school and try to get them out.
Right.
Or in some case, all respect, I know there's some good reputable preschools, but you're trying to just make sure I get my money as a financial.
And I fund them along.
And I fund them along.
Yeah.
And he goes into primary, he or she goes into primary school.
And it's a problem.
It's a problem.
Right.
Then you knew, even when I was in high school, there were some troublemakers in school.
Correct.
Straight through the system.
Right.
Mm-hmm. Everybody just accepted him as the problem guy.
Right. And but what you do is you try to identify them within the school environment.
Yeah.
And you can get them while they're still.
Because you know, I know one of my classmates in high school. He was a troublemaker.
Mm-hmm.
He fight. He did all kind of things. So it was not surprising when I became a police officer, I had to arrest him for crime.
You've been a troublemaker.
Yeah. So you saw the track record.
Right.
And leading up there. So we don't just arrive here.
Right.
Who are these children? Who are these problems at the school? Are they should they be in the classroom setting, or do we don't make up our mind? Should they go into a trade school?
Right.
At a phase at school?
Right.
What should happen? What should happen with these children?
And we're going to the very end of the problem without looking at it along the line.
Because you're not talking about the children.
Let's take the phone call, Kermit.
Yeah. Okay.
No, all right. Kermit doesn't want to take the phone call. Okay. I tell the people call. I know why you don't want to take the call. Take one call. I don't know what happened to him today. Yeah. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome. No? All right. Anyway. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello. Good afternoon. Are you there?
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney.
Hey, how's it going?
And Officer Dane, great work you men are doing. I believe that it's going to require men as a whole to rescue the fallen men in our midst. You know, many of the parents who we like that you are discussing, they're not going to be able to clean up the mess that they have created. You know, you can prosecute them or what have you. It's not going to help. It's nothing you can. Fatherlessness can only be corrected by providing fathers, and it has to come from us men who are conscious and are capable of filling in that gap. And we are our brother's keepers. You know.
Yeah.
And my other point is that, piggybacking on what Officer Dane mentioned, he said we dismissed the problem for a long time, and now it's turned into a catastrophe, almost. So I wonder why we did that. Was it so hard that we can't cut off the head of the snake, so to speak, and just, you know, make this and it'll go and the snake will be immobilized? Why, as we as an intelligent, organized society and community, law-abiding country, cannot cut off in this small? I mean, it is not like the U.S. with 52 states and 53 states in every state have major gangs and a mafia-like organization.
Mm-hmm.
These just a few boys,
right?
You know, why we play with this thing?
Yeah. All right. Thanks. I got to take another call, but thank you, sir, for contributing. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello.
Can you hear me?
Yes, I can.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. Good afternoon to your listeners all over the world.
Right.
Former Assistant Commissioner of Police.
Senior
Commissioner of Police. Right. How you doing, sir?
Pretty good, sir.
All right. Welcome to the show. And I just wanted to say thank you on behalf of all of us, put people out here who know but the goodness which you have done over the years, especially with the herbal renewal, sir. And I started to say to myself, why would we have a talent like this? I listened to you talk about some of the solution and some of the problems would be how we need to go about doing things. And I said to myself, how could we afford it? Don't have this talent on the police force at this time to help out in different situations. And I said, I remember so many former police officers are in parliament today who are in cabinet. And I said, this man, he's so smart, he has so much talent. I said, I don't know if he'd be interested in maybe even being a parliamentarian or a politician or a member of parliament to represent the people. Because I think different from being a good, great commissioner of police, qualified to do it, I think you've been doing a good job. McCartney.
Yes, sir.
I have a question, but don't believe I have a problem. Like I say, I have Haitian people in my family. So this is just a question. When you are at a certain age of minor, they don't really call your names if you go to court or whatsoever, even if you kill someone or rob someone, what right. I'm aware of. Unless you bring me up to date. You know if any of them children, them like different statistic even in the past, all of the murders in school and different things, this straight up Bahamian people kills one another also. I'm asking you if they Haitian Bahamian, they children of Haitian parents.
I don't know. Maybe you, I mean, you.
No, I mean, as a journalist, I mean.
I couldn't answer. Maybe Mr. Dean could answer.
I know. It mightn't be important to a lot of people, right? I just asked the question, and maybe as a journalist, you could check on it and answer us later if you don't know the answer now.
Okay.
All right.
Is there any relation, you think, to that? Or?
No. I think what I'm saying to everything is variations. People have been floating that around.
Right. And like this boy who was killed.
Yeah, and I think for most part, us as Bohemians, we try to throw the problem rather than addressing the problem.
Right.
Or I say some Haitian Bohemians.
Haitians doing it.
So we ain't got to worry about our children.
Right.
All right? But I want to say thanks to the caller for his kind words.
Right.
But what I'm saying to you, we have to look at...
Right in for office.
Yeah. We have to look at ourselves. Man, I think I can make a greater contribution out here, Warren, because I'm actively involved in Rotary. As the president of the Rotary Club of Nassau, and I see the benefits of out there. You understand me?
Right.
And so everybody have their respective role in this life. Like you have your respective role here. I have my respective role out in the community. But we don't need to transfer the problem. Right here, our indigenous Bahamians, we need to come and address this problem.
Right.
We can't constantly be throwing every excuse we got in the world. Oh, send the people back on the boat. Then we wouldn't have no crime. Our people here, our children, are committing crime.
Right, yeah, it's not a Haitian problem solely, you know?
Yeah.
Good afternoon, welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon, Juan, how you doing?
I'm good, how's it going?
Doing good. Good afternoon to you too, Mr. Dan. I say Mr. Dan because I know you personally. Let's go way back to 2006 when you was, with the last call, you just mentioned the urban renewal. I was a part of Farm Road Marching Band. I know you were familiar with that.
Wow.
Yes, most definitely.
Yes, sir. So I won't say my name on radio, but I wanted to piggyback off when you talked about if there's some way we can get a seminar into the school curriculum for about 45 minutes an hour with the police coming in and talking to the students and making that mandatory. I think that's one thing that we can do to help with the students. Another point is maybe we could start getting metal detectors inside the schools, probably starting from senior high school and then, I guess, work our way down to probably junior high because I don't think you really need it for primary schools. So probably junior high, senior high is probably where we could focus on bringing metal detectors in the schools.
Okay.
And then if there's somehow, some way we could bring back some kind of after school activities, because I know that was something that kept many of us who was in those communities and Farm Road, you know, Bay and Grandstown and stuff, those are most of the stuff that kept us from straying away and, you know, getting involved in things we shouldn't get involved in after school because from after school, you go to your activity and then after that, it was nighttime, so you had to go home. You had nowhere else to go.
Now, so, Carlo, let me ask you something. Before you answer that, Mr. Dean, let me ask you something. Since you grew up in this environment, explain this gang culture among teenagers to me. Like, is it something that happens in communities and then they take it into the schools, or is it something that's going floating in the schools and exists in itself in the schools? Because I don't understand, because it's not, they're not dealing drugs in the schools. They're not fighting turf wars in the schools. Well, I don't know if they're dealing drugs.
Based off my experience, when you encounter stuff like that, pretty much the decision came up to you to say whether you was gonna, you know, stray away from it and do the right thing, or you just gonna embrace it and carry that culture into the school. Based on my experience, it really comes down to a personal choice, because I've, you know, experienced, you know, coming home from school, getting robbed and so on and so forth. But I didn't use that to say, okay, well, this is what I'm used to doing, so I'm going to just go in school and I have to, you know, be a rebel. So
right.
At the end of the day, it comes down to your personal choice. Like you said, once you're 13, 14, 15, you clearly know what's right and wrong. And I remember a quote from Mr. Butler, who was also with Farm Road at the time. Mr. Dean was there. And he said this one thing I never forgot, and it stuck with me to this day. He said, you're not responsible for where you come from, but you are responsible for where you're going. And that stuck with me through to this day. And now, you know, I was able to go off to school on a scholarship, got my bachelor's degree, master's degree, and now I run my own business. So it does play a part where everybody has to, you know, come together. So I believe that we really need to come together, like Mr. Dean said, and try to rally our young people back up, because we're losing them, and we got to get them back. So.
All right. Thank you so much, man. Appreciate it. Very good. All right. See, there's a life you help change.
There's so many cases like that. Because what is happening, particularly with these and our inner city one, is leadership. Role model. Most of these role models has been reversed with the drug trafficker or the person in the life of crime. That's what they begin to see. Because even in some cases, a lot of us have done well. We grew up in these areas, but how much has come back to say, I came from this area.
Right.
You can be just like me. When I worked in those inner city communities, I saw, you know, it would make me feel good today, Ron. One, when I go through areas, when I walk in the bank, they say, Mr. Dean, you remember me?
Right.
I went through the corner. You remember you used to come to lecture? Remember you started with the band with us? You did this? And I was at my Rotary Club meeting. We invited this guest speaker. And the guest speaker said, before I start speaking, very well accomplished guest speaker, he said, before I start speaking, Mr. Dean, you remember when you worked in Cat Island? You came to our school in Old Bight. You used to come and lecture to us. The teacher gave you time to do that. You touched my life. And because of you, I'm a better person today.
Excellent.
And that's 20 years ago. You didn't even remember it.
Right.
So what I'm saying, Juan, let's look in our inner cities. If I get out of school now, where do I go? What happens to me at 3 o'clock? Where do I go?
I have no idea.
Between time my parents come home.
You just roam. Right.
Is there any major community center
which
has a basketball, which has an after school program, computers, and you have these little pockets of poison say I'm doing this here and that. But is there really any place that someone has to go? Because in some cases, my electricity is off.
Mm-hmm.
So I ain't getting no computer homework.
Right.
I ain't getting no internet connection.
Right.
So I already at the end of the bar. So I might as well. What is out there? The gangs running around. The guys on the blocks. That's my activity.
They give a couple dollars, run errands.
Yeah, because not really the, you know, and that's why strategic, you know, around the world, but in the U.S., and, you know, we might say, well, you're comparing, but they have community centers. There's a value in community centers.
Programs, centers.
And one time ago, I know, like, the Catholic and Anglican churches, they always had this thing with a basketball court nearby.
Mm-hmm.
The priest was always there. And you always saw, like, a community, you know, you heard people like Marcy and Peters. You heard all these persons. There was a reason for that, for persons getting involved in communities, that they channel all that. So what does a child do when they get off, Juan? That's a real issue.
Right. The parents don't know, and no one knows, and so they just end up in their own devices.
Because parents have to work. Both parents have to work.
Both parents working.
And most,
they have both parents.
In most cases, you check in the particular research is showing the single parent mother is leading those households and most of those over the hill.
Right. And they got to work.
They got to work.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Hello, good afternoon.
Yes, good day. Juan, how you doing?
I'm good. How are you?
All right, good day. Good day, Mr. Dean, also.
Good afternoon.
I that's my view. I'm about to be 45, right?
Mm-hmm.
I came, the culture has changed, Juan. The culture I'm talking about. Listen, I came up, I grew up on Wolfwood with my Grammy, right?
Yes.
Had to go to church. Had to go to RE.
Right.
Was a Boy Scout. Had to go to youth meeting. I talking about like
right.
it was so many things for us to be involved in.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I mean? Like, and we had no choice.
Yeah.
Or you get your head bought off.
Right.
You understand?
Yes.
Like the saying putting police in school. These youngsters. I'm a prison officer. These youngsters aren't afraid of police officers.
Really?
That police officers don't move them. We need to attack this problem from home.
Mm.
From home on.
Yes.
That's where this needs to be fixed. The culture has changed, and we need the village to be fixed. We need the village to be rewired.
Mm.
Excellent. Yes.
You understand?
Yes.
We can't just police these youngsters. Mm. These youngsters have a different mindset.
Right.
Right. We got to change their minds.
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah.
And the parents, like Mr. Dean said, parents, for the most part, they so busy trying to make ends meet, trying to keep the light on, the water on. Yeah. They probably see their children once a day.
Jeez.
You know what I mean? And these children walking themselves to school, walking themselves from school, being pressured by gangs. Listen, this my finding. First, you know, we had RA, like I said, RA, youth meeting, stuff like that, Boy Scout, that we were growing up under, right?
Right.
For the most part right now, children are growing up under social media, sex, and drugs.
Wow.
Yeah. That's what growing up these children.
No, you're right, because we're the same age. And when I was a teenager, I had no time to do nothing. I had something every day, after school, Saturday, little league, you know what I mean?
I talking about church, like churches, when you have church on Sunday morning now. When we go to church on Sunday, we be to church like all day.
I had to be CYM. I used to be in St. Barnabas, until I was 15, 16, you know?
Yes, sir.
Yeah, but yeah, you're right, man. I think we got to start attacking this in terms of culturally, you know what I mean? Like of what's important to us and what we have, monitor our children.
Yes. Indeed.
All right. Thanks, my brother.
And Ronnie is excellent. You know, that's why I was talking about the after school. We always had something to do.
Mm-hmm.
That's why I'm saying that the idea of community centers being built in these communities now, where even persons, like the Boys Brigade wants to use the center, the Scouts. What happened there? You go to the Boys Brigade, now you might find two elderly gentlemen trying to help a couple little boys.
Right.
But ain't nothing happening.
Ain't nothing happening.
And what happened? That spirit of volunteerism ain't there no more.
Right.
Because if you ask somebody to do 2 hours with couple minutes now, what's the money? What's the tip?
What's in it for me?
Yeah, that's what it is. People want to get paid for something.
Right.
And you ain't gonna get while I believe you could applaud one or two teachers, I doubt you could have, like in time past, teachers would have spent time with us afterwards and they looking for their accountant pay.
Right, yes.
Everybody generally, that's what it's come to, everyone.
Wow. All right, let's take one more call and then we gotta go to a break. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, Juan, good afternoon. And good afternoon to one of the Bahamas' best heroes. I look at Mr. Stephen Dean. I've been following him for quite some time. Actually, I did one or two fire training with him as well. So I know the caliber of the man that you have in studio today, Juan. I just want to concur with the previous caller, and he's absolutely spot on. We do have a cultural shift in this country. You can see the difference between us, Juan, and I'm slightly older than you are, but in our household, the father was always the head. He sets the laws of the home. No wife was woman enough to come up against her husband after he has set the laws. What we have found in so many of these homes, and Brother Stephen has touched on it, that many of our homes today are single-parent homes actually headed by women. You're going to find that after your sons, I'm not saying all of them, but quite a number of them, after they reach a certain age, the mothers tend to be a little slack on them because the male dominant head is not there to keep them in line.
And if you don't ingrain that respect for your authority in them when they're very young, then by the time they're bigger than you, forget about it.
Exactly. And this is what happens. You find today, and Brother Stephen, you could correct me on this, because I'm hearing it on the street as well. after the sons have reached a certain age in these homes, especially the single mother homes, where the mother goes out to work and come back, the son takes over the house, and it's either his way or no way. She cannot control him anymore. The social outreach programs, such as Boys Brigade, which many of us have come through, the Royal Ambassadors, with some others, our scouts and so on and so forth, have come through. The components are still here, but the parents are not sending their kids to these components. And this is also a part of the reason why so many of our young men, because there's not the male figure there to ensure that they go to these places where discipline is taught, where self-respect is taught, where a love for God is taught. Because no man figure is there in the home, a lot of these young men are just roaming the streets doing what they want to do. So we must bring, we must do three things. One, bring God back into family. Two, we must bring the village back into play. And three, we must be each other's keeper. Thanks for taking my call, Warren.
All right, thanks a lot. I'll do one text, and then we got to take a break. This says, kudos to having the officer on the show, but my position in response to people talking about the denigration of culture, with each generation, we're meant to get better, not worse, thanks to the exposure and education. This could be cultural, but for, I think it's a core part of the problem, as we progress on so many levels, why are so many being left behind? And that's a good point. You know, we're supposed to, each generation is supposed to do better,
yes,
and better,
yes,
and
yes,
get better,
yes,
and
yes.
Achieve more. And though, like I say, the vast majority of kids will be okay, we seriously have to look at where we're going in terms of how many more children are being
and to some degree, some of us relaxed, dropped the ball. Our parents had a strict and disciplined, they had a focus. A lot of us even get catch feelings now. If my wife is disciplining my child, I almost get a feeling to say, I think that's a little too harsh.
Right, right, right.
And time pass, the father jumps on that too.
Right,
But I'm just saying the things have changed. And then even look at, you got to look at the safety issues. I send my children out to a camp and all that. Who is the camp instructor?
Right, yes.
Who are these poisons?
Correct, yeah.
And so it's so many things on the safety of walking. Parents almost have to drive their children to a particular place because we have predators out there. Right. We have person who might kidnap your child. So you have so many variables, but I don't think that court, that's an excuse of responsibility for all of us in society, what we need to do.
Absolutely. All right, we got to take, or why don't we just go closer to the end of the hour, and then we'll take the break and run straight in the news. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
A godly day to this stack and waste along with you, Brother Dan. Juan.
Hey, brother. Hey, Brayman.
Juan, I was listening from your face came on. The caller before the last one, he right on it. But there are a lot of things everybody are missing. I know people 80 years old in the 80s, and they never had God in their life, and they encourage their grandchildren, great-grandchildren to do wrong. The thing is, those youngsters carrying the immaturities in school, okay, because they be assault late in the night, they be smoking, they be selling drugs for guys, you know what I'm saying? I used to tell Walla when we used to practice around here, not only around here, out west. I said, let's start practice early so the children could go home, you know, to be to school for next morning. But guys won't come to practice after 9, 10 o'clock. They won't be just starting practice. The children still out there gambling, smoking, you know. They be in the basketball court. They gambling and smoking and breaking the ball in the park and cursing and stuff like that. They have no brought-up seat, and that's the problem.
Yeah, I want to talk, delve into this more on the other side of the news break, if you'll stay with us for the rest of it. But this social media is poison,
oof,
I think, for children. I think it's bad for adults, right?
Yeah.
And I think like 10, 15 years from now, when we have a chance to really study it, we're going to be like, oh my God, well, how could we have let children have devices to have social media? Not to mention all the predators on there and all the stories you hear, but just what it's doing to their brains.
Yeah.
It just is ruining these kids and how they perceive society and socialization now. We got to take a break. We'll be back. This is going to run us into the news break. Yes? Okay. Fair enough. We'll take a break and we'll be back on the other side.
Everyone should experience a brand new car, but not everyone can afford one. Until now, Bahamas Bus and Truck has the answer. The stylish, spacious, feature-rich, yet affordable Mitsubishi Attrage. Priced at $21,900, including a 3-year warranty, why not come and experience the value that Mitsubishi has built into the Attrage today? Bahamas Bus and Truck, the country's only authorized Mitsubishi dealer. Telephone 322-1722.
Samantha's always on point. She doesn't miss a thing. When she signs up for any insurance policy, she reads all the fine print. She knows what's covered, what's not covered, and she's aware of her deductibles. When it comes to insurance, it pays to know your policy. Review every insurance policy so you know what you're covered for. This message was brought to you by the Insurance Commission of the Bahamas.
Calling all Primo fans! Marco's Pizza's got a new special! That's right, the Trio Deal was made just for you! Enjoy one large, one topping pizza, cheesy bread, and a 2-liter soda for just $20. At Marco's Pizza, we're all about quality. That's why we make our dough fresh every day. Our specials are hot, delicious, and affordable. 3 items, just $20. Order your Trio Deal today on our website, marcospizzabahamas.com. Marco's, every store, every day, the Italian way. Hello, Primo.
Tired of banks forcing you to use technology to bank the way they want you to? Your convenience is important. So no matter what your banking needs, Commonwealth Bank's friendly staff are always available in branch for that personal one-on-one service. But when you choose technology, our online and mobile banking app offers you state-of-the-art functionality. The choice is yours. Commonwealth Bank. Bank the way you want.
Here's what you can expect when it's your turn to be vaccinated. After registering online, you will show up at your selected vaccination center on the appointed date and time. Remember to carry your ID along with your confirmation code for verification. Next, you will sanitize your hands and have your temperature checked before checking in and joining the queue. When it is your turn, you will be directed to a vaccination station and a healthcare provider will fill out your vaccine information card and administer the vaccine. You will then be sent to an observation area where you will wait for 15 minutes and be monitored for signs of any adverse reaction. In the case of emergencies, vaccine sites are equipped with an emergency setup where a doctor is on standby. After the 15-minute wait, you are free to go. Be sure to monitor any symptoms over the next few weeks and remember to schedule your second dose within 8 to 12 weeks. It's your choice, your chance to protect yourself. Register to get vaccinated for COVID-19 today at vax.gov.bs.
Signs that you should go to therapy. You've thought about it, you wonder if it could help, you want to go, you wanted to see if this list would apply to you. Mental health is health too.
This Mental Health Awareness Month message brought to you by Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM.
This is Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM, Nassau, Bahamas.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to The Revolution here on Guardian Radio, 96.9 FM. My name is Juan McCartney. We are here with retired Senior Assistant Commissioner of Police, Stephen Dean. We're trying to address what is happening, particularly with our young boys and violence and young people. We talked about the responsibility of the young men, the responsibility of parents, and where the government comes in and all this. And just that there seems to be a gang culture permeating the schools. And I mean, I was talking to College Street about this 15 years ago. And so, you know, it's been that long that we've been talking about this, but we don't seem to be able to arrest it, right? So, and I'll tell you this, I put a lot of this on parents, but at a certain point, the children, the teenagers, they're going to have to accept responsibility for their actions. But I see where we were headed as a nation. I saw a few years ago, and I say, I hope this is not indicative of the general sentiment out there. So, you know, in order to go into grade one, you're supposed to be able to meet certain standards.
Right.
Be able to say your name, your name, your parents' name, your phone number, your thing. And so somebody put a Facebook post up and said, well, these are the standards that you have to meet before you go to grade one. And there were numerous people under the post who said, well, that's what the teacher for. Right?
Yeah.
So the teacher, so you basically have no commitment to teach your child anything, any sort of learning or cognitive, social norms or whatever like that.
That's the
teacher is supposed to do it.
Right.
All right. So I'm trying to figure out where the parent comes in.
Yeah.
You know, what is the parent's responsibility? And that's, you know, we have to get back to that.
No, but parents have an awesome responsibility. I think the responsibility of rearing your children and seeing their children become good, productive persons is non-negotiable.
Right.
You can't negotiate that with nobody.
Right.
You can't transfer that problem. You have the number one primary responsibility.
Right.
You can make all the excuse, but, you know, I'm a single mother.
But no one should have no children.
Say I'm 13, 14, but at some point, you have an awesome responsibility. Because if that child make it to the NBA and all that and doing good and making all that money, you'll be dancing all over the place. So that's my child.
Exactly. Right. Take all the credit.
Yeah.
All right. We can go to the phone lines, and we have some texts we'll get to as well. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. McCartney. How are you?
Hey, I'm well. How are you?
Awesome, man. Awesome. Great show. Timely show. I think you need to have one of these a week.
Okay.
But in any event, Mr. McCartney, I don't understand some of these people who are calling this show, because how in the world can you tell the national public that children aren't afraid of police in this country? That is the most nonsense that I have ever heard. Listen, one, I am the baddest man I know, okay? Right. And I fear the police.
Right.
With a reverential fear. I don't fear them as in, you know, I fear them. I fear them because of who they are.
I respect them. I don't commit no crime, so I ain't afraid.
Exactly. Yeah. Right. You have to respect the police. And with that respect comes a reverential fear. Like, you know, these officers are licensed by the government. They have the government uniform on. They have a government-issued weapon, right?
Mm-hmm.
And if you think that you are so bad that you don't have to fear the police and you want to challenge them, then you are sadly mistaken. I ain't no police officer, and I ain't all that crazy stuff, but I may take a chance and run a stop sign or a red light or something if I don't see a police. But if I see a police sitting on the other side of the stop light, you think I so bad that I don't feel I could go and run that light?
No.
And the police sitting right on the other side? You cannot teach these children today that they don't fear the police, because they do fear the police. I have children, and I know they fear the police, because when they ain't listening to me, if I drive up to the police station and say, y'all going in the cell right now, guess what?
They're
the best children in the world.
Yeah.
You understand? So you
That's cool.
cannot see. It is what you tell them. It is what you allow them to hear and what you allow them to believe. You cannot raise children today making them believe that they don't need to be afraid of the police, because they do need to be afraid of the police. Their job is to protect and to serve at any means necessary. And that includes even if they have to protect other citizens by taking your life because of you being out of control. So we have to stop talking foolishness. That prison officer sounds like he wants some more children to come up there in prison for him to watch. You know, but you cannot tell these children that, man. You have to teach these children to obey the laws of the land. All right, no matter how bad you think you are, you have to respect the police officer. That's all I wanted to say. Thank you.
Okay. Now, I didn't get from the caller that he wasn't respecting police. No. I think he was just making an observation.
And we must be, you know, while I hear the views of that caller, there's reality that exists out there. There's some young people have no regard for law and order and for none. Because sometimes it has a lot to do with the environment you came from. My parents ain't had no respect for the police. They talking bad with the police all day. So that comes into me. That's the attitude I take up. And you have challenges. So police officers, you have seen social media video where police officers try to stop fights with children.
Mm-hmm.
You were taught when the police show up, everybody stop fighting.
Right, no.
The fight just intensified.
Right.
Then, or they'll come on the police, as the case may be, you know.
Yeah. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Good afternoon, Mr. Cartney.
Hey, how's it going?
Not bad. Good afternoon, Mr. Dane.
Good afternoon, sir.
Parents responsible for their children while they are small. Parents can teach them to be. They should go, but when they get a certain age, they have a mind of their own. The heart of man must change. Thanks for taking my call, Mr. Cartney.
Okay, thanks so much.
Thank you.
Let's take another call. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hey, good afternoon. How are you doing?
Hey, good afternoon, Don. How's it going?
Okay, I'm good, thank you. And good afternoon, former senior deputy commissioner of police, Mr. Stephen Dean. How are you, sir?
Former senior assistant commissioner.
Senior assistant.
I apologize for getting it wrong.
No problem.
My little voice last week, I wanted on. But just wanted to express a great topic, one. And I always appreciate hearing from you, Mr. Dean, because, you know, you have institutional knowledge, you have experience, and you know, because you would have gotten results when you were playing a particular role, especially in the urban renewal. I want to go back one to before your news break.
Mm-hmm.
There was a young caller who spoke to Mr. Dean about being in the Centerville constituency,
mm-hmm.
and he went off to school and he was able to attain his higher levels of education.
Yeah.
He said something I thought that was very important, in that there is personal responsibility. And I agree with that wholeheartedly. You know, having seen and having known and having gone to school with some of the most dangerous criminals the country has produced, right? And being with them and, you know, knowing them personally and walking the streets with them, et cetera, and understanding the mindset, I do recognize at the end of the day that there is the personal decision, right? Which I would have had to make myself, right, to decide to walk the good path or the bad path. However, we must also acknowledge that not all children are alike. Some children will have the strength of will to determine they're not going to walk in that particular path. Some children do not have the strength of will and are much more easily influenced and would fall prey to the peer pressures of their peers and would fall victim to the environment in which they're in, with influence, et cetera. And so we have to acknowledge that it, certainly there's not a one cap that fits all.
Right.
We do need state-of-the-art, modern, comprehensive facilities that are staffed with varying levels of individuals that deal with challenges at the various levels. We need that desperately. Across the entire Commonwealth of the Bahamas, these are centers where the teachers, as Mr. Dean started to point out to, as I was thinking, you know, for instance, one, we have the situation with the COVID where the government just shut down the country. That's a blunt force methodology that
right.
kills the process. We need the in-between that gives the students and affords the teachers the opportunity to work with the students, to work through their challenges before they hit the end of the road, because as Mr. Dean expressed, and I can attest to that, because I've seen many of my friends walk down the path. When it gets to the level of the police, it's really, it's not over because you still have life, but it's really late in the game. And so we need preventative measures in place. The government has to be prepared to deliberately invest a substantial amount of resources and money in a consistent and a sustainable way to address the myriad of challenges from poverty to peer pressure to parents who has to work 23 jobs and is unable to be there to provide guidance in the home or oversight at the school levels, et cetera, and so this is a multifaceted problem that's going to require a multifaceted approach, and I'll end on this note one. Unfortunately, there is the reality where parents have challenges themselves in the home. But the government also has a responsibility, and it has to be able to bridge the gap in between. Because if we continue to make excuses by saying the government shouldn't do this, or the government shouldn't do that, one, Mr. Dean and the nation, the Bahamas, like Rome, will continue to burn. Thank you for the opportunity.
All right. Well, let me say this, and you can respond to Anton, too. Yeah. I'll say this. In terms of the government, right? So the government and the Royal Bahamas Police Force is an extension of the government, right? The government is responsible for peace, good order, safety, and society, all right? So, yes, the government has to make a serious investment in that. In order that, in terms of, if you have a lot of children who don't know how to act, who become adults, who are committing crimes, who are wreaking havoc on society, then that becomes a government problem. So the government should be invested in trying to arrest that before it happens.
Right.
But like he said, to me, to throw police on the students, that's a blunt. Yeah. That's to the point where it's no longer any control.
Yeah.
The system can no longer control these students, and now the police must come do it.
Yes.
All right? Because they're trained, and the police are trained to deal with criminals.
Right? But one, the thought came while he was speaking and while others were speaking. While we would look at the gloom and doom in some cases, there are still some institutions and pockets who are doing some positive things. I know that, like, the Boys Club of the Bahamas, they're doing some things. I know of some other organizations and some basketball coaches. They have good teams. The C.I. Gibson, I know, Kevin Johnson, and those fellows. You know, he housed some of the guys. And I'm just to name a few. A lot of things are happening. What I think needs to happen, I think the evaluation of all of these projects to see if they require more funding, more staffing, that we could build them together and build on some things that we have. Because every time we want to start something new.
Right.
We want to start this new program.
Right, and take credit for it instead of just...
Yeah, so I just think we need to look at building what exists. It might be happening to some degree, but I think we need to enhance that in times like that, because you have exploits on the ground. You have professionals who are working, but I think if they get the more support, you probably could see a little dent, a little roadway, you know?
Yeah, and I think, and I don't want to make it, I don't want to mischaracterize, because we have a whole show about the youth out of control. Like, the vast majority of students, you know, will be okay.
Yes, no, right? There's no question about it.
And they're going to graduate school, and they ain't going to be in contact with the police and all that.
One, you look at the degrees, I mean, children are graduating every day.
Right, yeah.
Children are joining these institutions, the Royal Bahamas Police, getting into the government service. Right. Young people are doing a number of things. Number of people will be coming out of school today. Number of them will be going into colleges. You know, so what I don't want us, at the end of the day, while we have these problems which overshadows everything that we get, we don't want to castigate
all of them.
Everybody.
As being a lost generation.
What they're doing.
Right.
You know, I think we got to find more opportunities.
Right.
Let's say some on our news. We should be finding more things to highlight the positive things of young people. Why about, there was a program I saw in Canada, catching young people doing something good.
Ah, oh, nice.
That you give them a ticket. Mm. You give them say, you could go to a movie. You could go here. So they were strategically looking through the country. Right. Every time they find a young people doing something good, bang. They
reward them.
So there got to be some incentives to help some of our young people, because our young people just need a little lift.
Right.
They need a jump.
Yeah.
Because you go in there, I know of a gentleman, I wouldn't even call his name. He was able to find five of young boys who were not who didn't have the opportunity. Everybody was just saying, these are troublesome young boys.
Mm.
They got into private school. Now they're entering the university now.
Right.
Through funding.
Yeah.
They could have been left on the conveyor belt that I talk about.
Absolutely. And you need more programs. Like, I had the Life for Key Life for Key Foundation on, and they do a program where they find the students in grade, like, 2, 3, 4, and take them all the way through university.
And we did, you know, while we're in the RBPF, and I think COVID has put a little hindrance to it, there was the summer program.
The summer program.
The most sought-after program. I mean, we hundreds of kids, and... You know, I want to thank the officers for what they do. You know, it's a lot of things going there, because you even see some of those kids come back now and begin to say, because of the summer program.
Right.
That
changed the trajectory.
Yes.
And so what we're talking about is not a widespread condemnation of all of you. It's just we have too many young men who are ending up on the wrong side of this thing.
Because, you know, because you hear it, you know, you hear someone got killed, then you hear it's an 18-year-old, it's a 23-year-old, a 17, you know,
exactly. Yes. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Hello.
Good afternoon.
Hi, Juan. How you doing?
I'm fine. How are you?
And to Mr. Dane.
Good afternoon, ma'am.
Okay, good afternoon. I just want to call to say thank you, Mr. Dane, for your work and value you shared with this country. Too long in this country, that's why constantly every year, we rehash the same thing, because we just stop, cancel, and review and starting new programs when we can work upon. I appreciate what you did with urban renewal. had urban renewal were allowed to carry out its mandate dealing with the whole man, this country would have been in a different situation, because every time the government changed, urban renewal is watered down. Urban renewal won 2 international awards, even for policing. Okay, because when I say the whole man, even though the children, those, whatever, came there, and the gentleman, the young man came with a testimony, the environment that he was living in, urban renewal touched that as well. So if whoever government come in, I can be political. This government, the FNM government, it seems like they, every time they come in, they water down urban renewal. Okay?
Okay.
So instead of understanding the program, you know, I've always told Mr. Christie did nothing. His vision was visionless for this country. Or you're bringing in back the PLB. But he had a vision, and he built, make sure Foxville have a community center of this world. And he said when he was opening that on April 2016, this was going to be a community center, a model for all communities.
Yeah.
With computer, pool, all kind of rooms, after school programs. The school within the area could have the graduation at the center. But because the vision and the mandate is different.
Okay,
renewal, just because over 4,000 contractors, couple contractors went contrary. You throwed everything away.
Well, look, listen, if we do that, right, yeah, we'll be here all day.
Yeah.
Because successive governments have seen murder records happen despite urban renewal, despite different policing methods. If we get it into a political level and just boil it down to that, as if we just go back to what the Christie administration did, then we're going to be lost, right? So we still have an urban renewal program. It was a great thing that we could have the bands and the things like that. But what we need to do are find solutions as a nation, as opposed to just drifting into politics, or we're never going to get anywhere. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yeah.
Hi, good afternoon.
Okay, I'm so happy that you say that. You know, it's so easy for a person to blame government and give all the responsibility to the police being in school. I can remember, right, when the police was in school, I remember an incident. What happened right in the school while the police were in the school, okay? This stemmed from us as parents, okay? I put all the blame on me, myself as a parent. If you listen to the news, I heard a lady said something that my son came home and he said that he was being bothered, okay? What did you do? Who you went to? Who you consulted? Did you even go to the school? Did you went and report it to the police? Did you? What the answer? No, nothing. Us as parents, we know our kids, okay? Because when these children, just like these criminals on the street, have something set in their mind to do, they're going to do it. However they're going to find the time, and you could even put the police in the school, they're not going to be there 24/7 watching over these kids. They're going to do. You see what happened after they did that?
Well, they'll wait till school and get out.
Pardon me?
Yeah. If the kids want to fight each other, they can fight each other after school.
They
can't do it in school.
After they didn't kill the young man, what they do? They didn't stand, wait for the police, the security, or the principal. They hop the fence and they run away. So let's get this blame government, blame police, blame teachers, blame administrators. Let us blame ourselves as parents, because guess what? At the end of the day, these kids living with us, we're supposed to know our children, know who company they're keeping, know what the conversation is like. Have a conversation with your child. You went to school. What happened today? What was going on? Okay? Until we change that, nothing is going to happen in this country, okay? We don't look for no one to take care of our kids. God gave us them for us to be able to take care of them. We totally are responsible for our children.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, look, I wasn't a kid who was involved in any crime or anything, but I was a mischievous kid.
Yeah.
Didn't want to pay attention, disrupt class and everything, wasn't taking school seriously. And, you know, I got kicked out of 2 schools. And My father and mother sat me down at a certain point, you know, and I was about 14 or 15, you know, and they said, listen, you, I can't do this for you, right?
Right.
So either you are going to want to finish school mm-hmm. and participate in the school
yeah.
or don't.
Yes, right.
Because by law, when you hit 15, yeah. I don't have to keep you in
right.
school.
Right.
So if you don't want to do it, then let me know, but I can do it for you. So you have to, at a certain point, understand that you did as much as you can
right.
to take a child to a certain point,
yes,
and
yes.
then you're going to have to start making some decisions,
yes.
even though you may not feel like you're an adult
right.
In order to make these decisions. But
right.
this is your life
right.
at a certain point that you must take agency over.
And I think, one, you know, this thing, you should never reach the point where you're fearful of your children.
Right.
Or children running the home. Because I know one time we went to search a house and one of the doors was locked.
Mm-hmm.
And the parent saying, oh, that's my 13, 14-year-old son. He's keeping his door locked. And I ain't get the key for the room.
Right.
I mean, which house is that in?
Right.
You know?
Exactly.
But he went out, but
right.
the kid, the door locked.
The door locked. You know what in there?
Yeah.
It's your house.
But you saying,
right.
you know, that's, you know, he's keep a key. That's comfortable.
Yeah.
You know?
And the crazy part is, you can get charged too if anything's in there because it's your property.
So what I'm saying, I know parents need help, and I would advise parents that if it's overwhelming, you know, there's certain areas that you can do, and I know social service, I don't have vibe, but, you know, the pandemic has caused a lot of things. They had a parenting program. I'm trying to help the parents. And I think more persons have to come to the rescue too, because some people just not going to do it of their own one. But we need to have more offerings
right.
to say for these parents. And offerings for parents maybe who 13, 14, 15.
Right.
We got to be able to help them.
And there's certain, I think they had suspended the program, but there was a particular program with social services
yes.
where they had the social workers
yes.
in certain schools.
Yes.
And what they would do
yes.
was say,
yes.
ask the principal, ask the guidance counselor, show me which students aren't coming to school.
Yes, yes.
Right?
Yes.
And it's a few of them.
Yes.
And what the social workers would do is they would reach out to the students, reach
yes.
out to
yes.
the parents.
Yes.
Why aren't they coming
yes.
to school?
Yes.
What is their home
yes.
environment like? Let me see if I can get them. And the more you do with that, and community centers and mentorship, and you attack the problem with a broad net, you could save a lot more people.
But, you know, you must we could castigate and say who's not doing what.
Right.
There are good police officers who are going beyond and beyond, above and beyond. There are social workers who are going above and beyond, who know their children, who know the kids, who are working on weekends
mm-hmm.
just to make sure some things happen. So, you know, I just think we got to find a way more of highlighting our people,
right.
making our people feel more appreciated
yeah.
for what they do. It's not always about the promotions.
Right.
It's about job satisfaction.
Yeah.
If we people who are in critical area, make sure they are satisfied, make sure they have what they need to get the job done, and they are comfortable, and I think you'll see more productivity
yeah.
towards what should be happening.
Excellent. All right. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Brother Juan.
I'm good, man. How's it going? Yes.
Mr. Dan.
Yes, sir.
All is well, sir?
Yes, sir.
You and Alakop in the same, y'all two in the same rank, Jay?
The same what?
Ranks.
No. He was, but we worked together, and he was one of the persons that I mentored. A good officer. Great officer.
Excellent officer. Because I come up under him.
Yes.
Not as a police officer, as a basketball player.
Yeah. Well, I know that. Yeah, he's a good basketball.
But I listened to quite, not from the beginning, but I listened to the start. I listened to the last piece before Anton came on,
mm-hmm.
right?
Mm-hmm.
But what I wanna even add right to this conversation. You remember Program Show?
Yes.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Okay, I was a part of Program Show.
Oh, okay.
2003,
mm-hmm.
2018, right?
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, them fellas, them young boys, plenty of you see the young fellas, them. Like, I think Juan said it earlier, or someone said it, concerning, no, you made an excellent way to really deal with young fellas. When you were saying, especially young people in general, when you were saying that, you find something for them to do, and you compliment them on that by giving them something. When I was at Program Show, the young fellas what I used to deal with, they smoke dope, they fight, bringing knife and all them things. So what I did, as one would, was been there, done that, and came out top of the class. I showed them how they could get rewarded for the good they do.
Mm.
See, and that's what plenty of people don't do. They don't reward the fellas them for the good they do. Mm-hmm. So what has happened is they end up on the streets.
Yeah.
Ron fellas them would enter a bunch of negative thoughts like gangsters. And I always just tell them, I say, let me tell you something. When you join a gang, just join to become another coward. Because that's all gangs them is, a bunch of cowards, right? But I told them, if you can't do something for yourself, and someone else got to help you do that, you ain't gonna never make it no place in life. You ain't gonna never be positive about what you is or what you could do. It always will be, but what that person could do. So I strongly believe the young men them now, with growing up, they're looking for an idol. And if they can't find an idol in school or they can't find an idol in their home, they can find that on the streets.
Yeah.
And that's what is be happening. Because everybody looking for love and everybody looking for somebody what can help them to do something what is good. And plenty of fellas believe drug dealing is good. They believe gang banging is good. They believe violence is good. Because that's all they run.
Mm-hmm.
But I like this topic one with you on today. I listen to you every day.
Thanks, my brother.
Matter of fact, I can tell you where he is right now on.
Okay.
I am blind. Everybody know me as Skillaboo. But right now, I am Brother Wallace.
Okay.
Right? And I was the one that was telling you, not deviating from your topic, right? But the Deputy Prime Minister, you heard the statement he made the other day when he was talking about trying to made a statement about the children, them and all, even if they get put out, someone else, that ain't the government to do?
Yeah, it's not responsible for
okay,
that.
Okay, now my thing is, right, remember when I was telling you, where I live in, right, in Lazaretta Road, where the place is very dark.
I remember you told me about the road, yes.
Right. And it's like the people let me even in checking for that. One, you get that. I get a daughter. My daughter, she's 14. She look good. She look nice.
Okay.
Now, people just want to send out, like in the evening time, to the shop on the end of the corner. But the place pitch black.
Right.
So what she just want to do is she just want to carry some of the little children with her. You know? But I'm trying to find out why these people don't put some light on the street road.
Yeah, I meant to inquire about that as well. Thanks I meant to inquire about that. Thanks for reminding me.
Yeah, man, please, man, one, man.
All right, I will do, my brother.
I
appreciate
it. They get it as a two-way, and only one car could turn through the could really run on that road.
Right, yes.
And the road could open up, because it's a widespread road, but only one. I don't understand. But my brother, please, man, see how best you could help us with that.
I will. Thanks for reminding me. I was supposed to look at that. Thank you, sir.
God bless.
All right. Take care, buddy. But a few more calls, and then we get quite a number of text messages as well. Good afternoon. Good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution.
Yes, good afternoon, Mr. McGodney.
Hey, 52. How's it going, my brother?
Yeah, it's not too good. Good afternoon to Mr. Dean.
Good afternoon, sir.
Yeah, you know, it's great community work, but it's an ongoing effort. You know, I just called for this input and to answer somebody's question, right? And so it'll be good if we could hear from young students inside these schools, because I have a niece that goes to GHS, and she went from there, from CC Sweden there, and she's saying there's a prevalent gang culture, and she gave the three names of the gangs that they're shouting, right? Now, Mr. Dean and everybody should know that the real area, the location of GHS, it's really in an area that confluenced all of the gangs. Like, it's the Yellow Elder area. The Bozeentown, it's the Chippenham, it's the Grove, you know, so you would have these confluences of different gang cultures, right? And I live in the inner city, you know what I mean? Like, my opposite shop is in the inner city. The young gentleman, you know, I feel so guilty, Juan, and I have to share this, you know. His father always has tell me to talk to him. He lives facing my grandmother property.
The young fellow who was killed?
Yes.
Yesterday?
I know the guy who came on, that's his brother Stanley. I know his mother, I know his father.
Oh, wow.
I was speaking with the father last night. He couldn't sleep.
Mm.
And he wasn't allowed in the hospital to see the body. He said the principal, he didn't hear from the principal yet, but I think he told me he's coming on with Clint Watson later, right? So his name is Emmanuel, but both parents are Haitian, and the guy that's on Marcus Street, he's not too far from your homestead, right? And so, I mean, the one that's a wife. And so, I saw it on Facebook. I didn't recognize him right away. And so I spoke to him numerous of times. His mom is correct. But his father's a pastor, right? So people who think they know what's going on, you know, the Haitian guy, his father's a pastor. They're decent people. They came from Freeport. He works very hard. He works very hard, his mom also. And I see him like, because, you know, he's beat to work. And so being that I live across, I be in the shop all the time, I watch him go to school. I watch him put on his knapsack and go on to school yesterday morning. But his older brother to listen to me more. But he's not into that gang culture. But Kim is not troublesome. This guy is very quiet. Very quiet. I guess it's his friends. You understand what I'm saying? It has to be his friends. Mm-hmm. But I spoke to him about it. I said, you're going to pay for these friends. And I don't want to be too harsh on him all the time. But he knows when his father's not there, like, I keep an eye on them. And so it's kind of like it get to me. I couldn't sleep either because it was like, he's so innocent. You know, and people think they know these people. Now, I don't know if it's because of his friend, but I know Mrs. Dean. I mean, I like what Mr. Marvin Dean said, that the police presence has never been ceased, right? But if the security is going to be there by themselves, it might seem a bit harsh, but seeing that the security officer was injured, maybe they should carry a taser gun or a dog or something, because I spoke with his father, and his father was saying one of the guys, I know they had this problem. So some guys put on the school uniform and enter the campus. So that may be how they infiltrated. But why I say the police presence is needed, because at that age, nobody has emotional intelligence. I don't care what they say. And we are not being realistic about the gang culture, like I hear you mentioning. It's deep and it's deep one. It's not like how they think. And then they carry this on into the police force, the defense force, et cetera, et cetera. And there's no use we deny this. You see what I'm saying? But because I miss him. I want the people, you see, somebody called asking you if he was a Haitian. He is a Haitian. Both parents are Haitian. But they born here.
But that don't matter, though, if he's Haitian or not.
That's what I'm saying. But let me tell you what's going on in the city now, Mr. McCartney. I know these little young fellas and all them who hang together, because I stay speaking to them. They're hanging on Market Street, and I warn them. But what happens is they have Haitian and Bohemians together, so it doesn't matter to me. You understand what I'm saying?
Yeah.
They know one another. All like, they friends. I know all they pa, all they ma. That's what it is. That's how, you know what I'm saying? But I just wanted to share that, but it's emotional. It's like his parent, his father. I know what he's going through, man. But I say, and he said, he'll be coming on with Clint Watson later, you know. And I just walk over there. I mean, him talk for a while, and I ran over there again this morning. And he had people coming to see him, but Kim was very quiet, man. So I don't know the perpetrators. I don't know them, but
right.
Something has to be done. We are carrying out the eugenics. Our own eugenics works by killing out one another. Something has to be done. Drastic measures, social intervention, something, man. Because I live in the inner city and I listen to the conversations that they have as they pass.
Yeah.
All right, and it, man, these people they down with this foolishness. You warn them, and I don't know what's going on. I lose three cousins within a year and a half. I explain to them, you see what's going on, and they still trodden into this gang foolishness. Have a good day, brother.
All right, you're very sorry, man.
Yeah.
I knew that it must have hit home, close to home.
Yeah.
You know what? I'll never forget after they had the little mini riot in Bayntown.
Yes,
In like I think 2010.
Yeah,
and I think it was 2010. And we went into the community. Commissioner Greenslade went to walkabout in the community, and we spoke to one young man. And, you know, when the police came through there, they weren't, you know what I mean? The young men, they weren't hostile or anything like that. They just were like, you know, they just want to be left alone.
Right.
And I talked to one guy, and I'll never forget it. And he said to me that we don't need any help from the police to kill each other.
Right.
We can kill each other out on our own. And he was very serious about that.
Right.
And his mentality was,
yes,
we don't need you to get involved in this.
Right.
We'll take care of it ourselves.
Right.
And it really sent a chill down my spine that was the prevailing mentality.
And that's the reality that exists on the road today. They only got a suspect that you was responsible for something that happened to my parents or to my cousin. And that's it. You're guilty.
Right.
In the court out there. You're guilty in the court out there. And that's why I know this prevailing thing comes with, they saying poisons police are wanted by the police.
Mm.
And then the police release them saying no longer wanted.
Right.
But that's well and good for the police. But out in the criminal world,
right,
if the police say you are wanted,
right, then that must be him.
You
right.
had something to do with it.
Right. Yeah.
And that's it.
And we don't need no evidence on none of this.
No evidence. Yeah. And they're real issues. We could try to dodge that. But that's what's happening. Persons are just saying who needs to be killed.
Go kill it.
And no, go back home, wash their hands, eat dinner, and that's
go to bed.
Probably the parents wash the clothes with the blood off it. It doesn't matter.
Right. Jeez. All right, good afternoon. Welcome to the revolution. Hello, good afternoon. I think that person's not there. All right, let's take our break, and then we come back, we deal with our text messages, all right? We're here with the Senior Assistant Commissioner, retired Stephen Dean, and we'll be right back.
Beulah gal, can you believe this? We are now the patrol queens of the neighborhood.
We now large and in charge. So we need to check out what's going on in everybody yard. What about that gun that we know that Junior and his homeboys just ran out? Can we report that too?
Of course we can.
But we could be in deep trouble if they find out.
We need to report what we see, Beulah. When you call Crime Stoppers, they just answer your call in Miami.
So then we can report everything? Guns, where they hiding the drugs, who shoot who part of which gang, or who disturbing the peace with the loud music and the motorcycles.
Then our neighborhood will be the best in the Bahamas, and everybody gonna want to come live here. And then our house price will go up, gal.
So what we waiting on? What's the number?
If you see something, say something. Let us all pitch in and stop the crime before it's your time. Call 328-8477 from Nassau, or 242-300-8477 from the Family Islands, or text us through the Crack Crime Bahamas app. Stop the crime before it's your time.
Have an outstanding real property tax bill? Take advantage of our real property tax forgiveness program. Bring your account to zero and receive a 50% discount on your outstanding tax and surcharge past 180 days. Or get a payment plan. Make a 25% deposit on your outstanding tax, receive a 100% waiver on the surcharge, and pay the difference within 36 months, interest-free. Contact the Department of Inland Revenue at 225-5778 or email us at rptforgive@bahamas.gov.bs. Offer ends May 31st.
Hello, sir. Your credit card bill is due. Hello, sir. It's time for your monthly loan payment. Tired of creditors pounding at your door? Sign up for a debt consolidation loan from Fidelity Bank and consolidate your debt into one low monthly payment. What's more, you'll also earn interest on a built-in savings account. The pandemic has curbed many freedoms, but at Fidelity, our focus is to help regain your financial freedom. Visit a branch or speak to Fidelity Bank at 356-7764. COVID safety measures in place at all branches. Fidelity, we're good for you.
At Ron's Electric Motors, they repair and rewind all major brands of electric motors, including water pumps, generators and generators back end, welding machines, electric lifts, air compressors, battery chargers, and more. They're equipped to handle up to 850 kilowatts and rewind up to 450 horsepower motors. They're conveniently located on the corner of Wolf and Clarence Roads and are open weekdays 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., Saturdays till noon. They offer 24 hours emergency assistance. You can reach them at 242-356-0249.
In life, there are always challenges. Today, we find ourselves having to be more self-sufficient, socially aware, and technically savvy. At J.S. Johnson, we are committed to our customers by providing cost-effective insurance solutions. No matter what your insurance needs, we will always be here for you. Call 397-2100 or visit jsjohnson.com. J.S. Johnson Insurance Agents and Brokers, giving you peace of mind.
At Bahamas Bus and Truck Company Limited, we provide vehicles known for quality and durability. From the iconic Jeep Wrangler to the award-winning Grand Cherokee, we've got your everyday driver covered. For larger tasks, our Ram 1500, Mitsubishi Fuso Canter Trucks, CMC Verica Vans, and Fuso Rosa Jitneys do way more than just deliver. We even carry a wide variety of pre-owned vehicles. Keep you going, our parts, service department, and body shop can accommodate our brands and others. Call us today at 322-1722 or email info@bahamasbus.com.
Preparing for a hurricane can make all the difference in safeguarding the lives of family, friends, and neighbors. By knowing what action you should take, you can reduce the effects of a hurricane disaster. Get all the facts of the potential of having insurance, impact-resistant windows, home emergency power, essential supplies, and a lot more before the storm. After the storm, where to purchase building or cleaning supplies, waste disposal, medical care, and more. The Nassau Guardians Hurricane Guide will help you make sure everyone knows what to do in the event a hurricane approaches. Take advantage of this double insertion opportunity plus 15 commercials on Star 106 hits. Contact us today at 302-2300. That's 302-2300 or your account executive. Will you be prepared?
Thank you.
Good afternoon, ladies and gentlemen. Welcome back to the Revolution here on Guardian Radio 96.9 FM. Can't take any more calls. We got a lot of text messages. Want to just be able to read as many of these as we can. This says, yes to all of your statements, Juan. The heart of man is wicked. Parents are doing a poor job. It says, Juan, you can't have it both ways. This country is a nanny state, and the government intentionally operates it as such. The government places its hands in every aspect of living, so it's quite reasonable that now, seemingly, people are looking for the government to even raise their kids. All right, we're going to disagree on that one. It says, the government has to take blame as well as the parents. The government told the school and the parents that the rod is wrong. The scriptures say, spare the rod and spoil the child, whether the rod is hand, belt, or tongue. Now, you got a situation out here where if you are an administrator and you hit somebody child out here, you may have to be prepared to defend your life from the parents, so it ain't like it used to be. Good day, Juan. Can people please change the narrative that it's not always having a father or a man, and there would be a different outcome? That's not true. It's other issues that need to be addressed. I had a mother and a father in the home, but my brother still resorted to crime. Yeah, it's not a blanket thing.
Right.
Yeah. Juan, answer to the problem is create a reform school. It says, Juan, recently a decision was made to sideline a few great officers with a wealth of knowledge. Why are we not utilizing such persons as Ken Strawn, Stephen Dean, Clayton Fernander, along with pastors and other corporate citizens to implement programs within the schools? At some point, we must put pettiness aside for the greater good. Keep up the good work, Mr. Dean. You're truly a Bahamian icon. Well, Stephen Dean retired now, so that ship done sailed. Had a chance, but it's over now. Good afternoon, Juan. Remember, community centers were promised on the last election trail. Unfortunately, were any of them built? Good question. It says, the problem... It says, senior commissioner, not just the drug dealer, some of the young people are looking up to in the community, also the web shop owners, so sad. It says, the problem is the evil ones infiltrate all the groups, young peoples. that's a lot you said there. This says, Juan, thanks for this most informative show. The solution to our problem in this country is parenting is the key component to the solution. I'm a mother who had to raise two children on my own with God's help, a son and a daughter who are now productive children of the world. I controlled my house, not my children. Yeah, and under no circumstances would I suggest that a single mother can't raise children. It's happened. And those who have done it are to be congratulated because it ain't easy.
No question about it. They have done extremely well.
Says, yes, I agree. Parents aren't sending their kids to enrichment programs. Now, and the thing you talked about, Mr. Dean, is if you want to send your children, where do you go?
Yeah,
where do you send them?
Yeah, you have to know, where do you send them?
Right.
Is this person trained? What is it? What's the background of this place?
Exactly. This says, Juan, we spent 2 decades promoting girls at the expense of boys. What do you expect? We need to separate the boys from the girls and design a school system for boys that teaches them excellence and how to compete. We really need to teach women to choose good, responsible, and accomplished men to have children with. While women may say this is unfair, but they control which male values are promoted by choosing men with those values. Okay. This says, Juan, I was more afraid of bringing shame to my family than being in the police hands than anything. These youngsters don't have that same feeling.
Yeah.
This says, started primary school with clubs such as Brownies Brigade, then in middle school, Scouts Brigade, Guides, high school programs like Queen Scouts Brigade, GGYA, JA Ranger Guides, and RBDF Rangers. Yeah. Good afternoon, Juan. And guess correctly said, we all know right from wrong. This principle is endowed within humanity from birth. Yes, parents have the responsibility of rearing up their children, but parents don't always be with their children. The force of evil is real among humanity. If the grown-ups and children alike are not grounded in the ways of Christ Jesus, the plague of evil will continue to do much damage. All right. This it says, good afternoon. Sir, do you think our society changed when punishment was taken out of the schools? I don't know. It says, Juan, I watched a high school girl fight a police officer in khaki when parting a fight on Prince Charles Drive, and I was shocked. He said, Miss, this is what we're dealing with now. It says, Juan, I sincerely and honestly do not believe that these children who are about that life are afraid of or respect police. What they're afraid of is a show of power and getting caught and being at the mercy of the law if they're caught. The main problem is that they've been getting away with so much for so long, they can believe they could continue to live that type of life and get away with it. And, you know, part of the thing, too, Mr. Dean, is that what I think a lot of these young people don't realize is that once you enter this life of crime, the police probably ain't your biggest problem.
No.
Right? So you...
It's the same. Yeah, the person who you're involved in crime with...
Right, that's...
They're probably your number one, you know. And one of the thoughts coming there about the responsibility, because you know what is happening, Ron?
Mm-hmm.
Our children are getting, in the institutions like the boys' school and the prison, what they should have been getting home.
Right.
So they're being taught what time to go to bed.
Right.
How to wake up.
Correct.
Well, you should go to sleep.
Right.
This is how you should do your clothes.
Right.
This is how you should do that.
This when you take a shower.
Yeah, yeah.
Right.
You
yeah.
Take a shower.
Right. Exactly.
And these are things should be inculcated for when they were home.
Right. Exactly.
But the system now
yeah.
is teaching you.
Got to teach you how to be an adult and how to function
and right. how to live.
Yeah. Says, Juan, tell that caller who said children have respect for police to stop his nonsense. Many of these youngsters coming up have no respect for their own mothers. They fight in the street right in front of the police station. They call the police everything but a child of God while resisting arrest. They gather and hinder police from performing their duties. The average one of them has no respect. Good afternoon, Juan. Great show. I oppose the posting of RBPF officers in our schools. One of the short-term solutions to the problem is to place metal detectors at the entrance to the school buildings. One of the long-term solutions is to establish boys and boys clubs in all schools at the grade 4 level. Mm-hmm. This will create a big brother, big sister program. To try to reach the children in grade 7 is too late. Yeah, you starting off real late at grade 7.
Yeah.
You know? Yeah. This says, I totally agree with Mr. Dean. We need to stop highlighting the negative. So many young men out here are making positive movements, and they're never mentioned, and the few who are wreaking havoc seem to get the highlights. Yeah, I mean,
Yeah, we don't want, we got to highlight our children, you know. Because, you know, human beings, we are creatures of praise. We want to be praised. We want to say that we're doing a good job. Even right. on my job, I used to like when the commissioner say, Mr. Dean, you're doing a good job.
Right.
Someone wants to hear, we are creatures of praise. So you got to find programs to highlight our young people and keep flashing them across the news. That should be a flash.
And affirm good child, behavior.
This one has done well. This one has done well. Came from this big, you know. Right. And I think we got to continue to look at posts
like that. It says, we act as if we don't have a problem with parenting and too much illicit, irresponsible sexual behavior. This says, Juan, when I was 18, my mother used to do the room search. I think we too much use the single parent home as an escape as a scapegoat for kids' bad behavior. Mm-hmm. Right. It says, great show as usual, Juan. When I drop off the kids, I tell people my kids better come back home in the same exact condition I dropped them off of. In other words, if my kids don't come home safe, the person keeping them ain't coming home either. Okay. It says, I want parents of the victims to know that they can sue the other student and parents. That may be on the way to slow down the violence, and government should make that easier to happen. All right. It says, one, the students have a different mindset, and everyone don't want to be saved or educated. I remember when the students beat up the police officer at CC Sweeting High while the former Prime Minister Ingram's wife was the principal. The police did not make the difference. It's up to the parents and school administrators. Some students don't belong in a traditional learning environment. This says, this was a truly tragic affair. What compounds the tragedy is not only the politicizing of the issue by concerned parents, but the call to attack sitting cabinet ministers. Those disgraceful and distasteful remarks are what's a large part of the problem. If as parents we're unable to solve our issues without violence, how can we expect our children to do so? Kids are simply mirrors of what they see at home. It says, good day. I salute Mr. Dean. When the bad guys was wanted by the police, Mr. Dean came on TV telling the bad guys to turn themselves in. The next day they went in. We don't see that now. Yeah. This says, you can't sue people who don't have anything. What you're suing for, that's also a good point. So, and I can't get to all of these. Comments, but you know, Mr. Dean, there's got to be some sort of way that we can come together to try to address these kids who are falling through the cracks.
And I think we got to put aside differences in the country, not because of this government coming or the next government coming, then you select your set of people. We have intelligent minds out here who will work under any circumstance, any political directorate, for the greater good of the country. And I think we have to start looking like that at our people. We have the talent here. We don't need to import no one to solve this problem. Mm-hmm. But we just got to have respect for our people. And, you know, you want to commend, I want to commend all the parents, all the law enforcement officers, all the social workers, all persons who are doing good.
Mm-hmm.
But they're working extremely hard. Because it could be, you know, you get discouraged sometimes when you say all the good work you're doing, then you get hit with this.
Right.
Then you get hit with that. So all our teachers, you know, we've got to continue. And parents are working hard under the circumstances. This is not no easy time to be a parent.
Right.
You know, this is not no easy time. So one, you know, we all of us have to do our part, but I just think we got to be intentional and said enough is enough. We have reached a crossroad that we should stop now, whatever we're doing, and say, let's put it together before it continue. Because we'll wait till another student get killed.
Right.
Then it flares up again. Then we stop talking.
Right.
Then someone else
get killed. Right.
And so when do you put a stop to it?
Yeah.
And I just think we need to find solutions because, like I'm saying, we have to find ways to occupy our children after school. They have to be community centers. They have to be intentional programs to get our children. What programs that work in this country that we have stopped? let's look at some programs. You know, whether it's the shock treatment, whether it's the SHORE program, SHORE, whether it was the urban, whatever programs, look at them and build upon them for the greater good of our country.
Thanks so much, Mr. Dean. You're a national treasure. I really appreciate you coming on and speaking to us and trying to highlight this issue, you know. And I know you got a lot going on. You're a busy man now in retirement.
I must applaud the Rotary Club, bro. The Rotary is my business now.
Right, excellent.
And we are doing one great things in this country, Rotary, but even the restoration in Abercrombie, we have done a number of things there. We're doing the Bahamas, and our clubs are doing extremely well.
You know? Okay, excellent. Well, you all the best to you. And to those parents out there who may have some questions about what's going on in their kids' lives, I would urge you to just not take for granted that everything's okay.
No.
You know?
It's not.
Make sure you're involved and active, and you think they're going to be fine, and they're on autopilot, but sometimes you need to check in and just make sure that nothing's wrong, and you can maybe stop something before it goes awry. All right. That's going to do it for the show today. Thanks so much for joining us. God's Spare Life. We'll be back tomorrow. You guys take care out there. Thanks again to retired Senior Assistant Commissioner Stephen Dean.
Thank you, Juan. Thank you, Juan. You know, I always reminisce on the great days we had on the beach.
Yeah, we
had some good days.
Yeah. But on the ground.
Man, we work. You work. You ain't there. You went every day.
All right. You guys take care out there, Bahamas. Have a great day.